Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Saoirse Ronan. Thanks for having me.
Very good.
Wait, let me do it one more time.
Yes, Annie, you can do as much as you want. That was.
Hi.
This is just the quirky bit.
Oh.
This is the bit that makes us sound quirky and relatable.
Hi, I'm Saoirse Ronan. Thanks for having me. Thanks. Is it more thanks?
No, I think thanks is fine.
Thanks. Thanks for having me. Hi, I'm Saoirse Ronan. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, Ruthie, your impersonation last week was so well received.
Well received.
Well received. That we thought we would get you doing another impersonation.
Next week I'm going to do Mel B.
That was Saoirse Ronan.
Saoirse Ronan.
Saoirse.
Yeah, Saoirse Ronan, who, if everyone could stop asking her how her name is pronounced, well, please. Because it's just annoying now.
Yeah, you were
in
saying...
In every interview.
Yes, you were saying that last week. I mean, she's won Oscars. She's in this new film on Chesil Beach. Mm-hmm. She was in Brooklyn, been in a couple of other movies as well.
Loads of major films. Mm. And you'd think that the interviewers would have something more interesting to ask than, how do you pronounce your name? And all the Americans... So you have a really, unusual name. It's Irish, right? And quite difficult to pronounce. How do people usually try to pronounce that?
So it's interesting that I've learned how to pronounce that, whereas I still can't pronounce Kanye.
No, although
that was good though, wasn't it? That Kanye.
It was okay. It's not perfect.
Good.
It just sounds like you trying too hard.
Should we start?
Wait, that I thought it was.
No, we'll start now. Hang on. Now, you identify as a feminist, I think, as all girls do these days. Most people identify as a feminist. But you weren't as familiar with the work of Germaine Greer.
No.
As I was. She was on TV the other day.
Yeah, but she's more of your time.
She's very much of my time. She's 80 next birthday.
She didn't seem 80 on
Good
Morning Britain.
No, she was on Good Morning Britain earlier in the week. And I said, I hope I'm as sharp as her when I'm that age.
You're not as sharp as that now.
Thank you very much. She was analysing the reasons for the disaster that was... I mean, she was there for a couple of reasons, but one of the royal wedding, which we'll come to in a sec. But she was also there analysing the reasons why Sue Perkins was such a total disaster presenting the BAFTAs. But I thought it was nice because everybody else, Sue Perkins, she was rubbish, etc. But she actually had a proper analysis. She knew what she was talking about. She obviously understood how television worked, understood how awards ceremonies worked.
Mm-hmm. She's just generally very smart, I think. She comes across really intelligent.
Extremely smart, and identified the timing problems, the timing of the lines, given that the jokes weren't very good anyway. And before that audience, she's saying, it's difficult because you're a long way away. And she said they should have given us some decent writers for a start. I blame the BBC for that. The BBC are not very good.
Which you love to do.
Well, no, the BBC do some marvellous things, but any awards ceremony these days has to buy into the Me Too hashtag and all that. And they thought, well, we've got Sue Perkins, that's it, job done. And of course, it wasn't. There's a lot more to doing an awards ceremony than that. And it was,
what do you mean?
A disaster.
I don't understand what you mean.
What I mean is, not enough care was put into everything else.
But I don't think that was because they were trying to make it Me Too. I don't understand. I think, feel like you.
Well, they're trying to make Me Too just by getting Sue Perkins to do it. And presumably...
I thought they were doing that because she's very British.
Well, she's British and she's BBC. But the script, which I assume they approved of, was let's have a go at Piers Morgan, let's have a go at pay disparity, let's have a... which it was neither the time nor the, unless you had really, really funny stuff, it wasn't the time for that, you know.
But that's the nature of awards shows.
Well, it's not the nature of awards shows. The nature of awards shows, in fact, I did tweet the next day, Norm Macdonald's Canadian TV Awards, which is hilarious. It's on YouTube. It's very, very funny. And it takes the mickey out of the people involved in the show. It doesn't try and sort of broaden it politically. I mean, I've quoted you in the past that joke about Canadian TV, where it says, up for awards tonight is Big Brother Canada, The Apprentice Canada, Canadian MasterChef. Where do they get these ideas from? But Jermaine Greer nailed it. She nailed the royal family as well. I know we're all looking forward to the royal wedding, are we not?
Love her wedding.
You're going to be there at 9:25 a.m. for the TV coverage?
When is the actual wedding? Like, wedding day?
No idea.
Having to take my hoop earrings out because they're catching on the headphones.
You'd suddenly gone quiet.
And they're out. They're also quite painful because the cheap Primark metal hurts my ears. But, you know.
A cheap Primark metal?
Yeah, but it's not even metal, like.
So it's Primark
like
plastic.
Like, you can hear them.
Yeah. Well, Jermaine Greer, who, she's a Republican. She's a self-confessed Republican, so she doesn't even think the royal family should exist.
Yeah.
Which is because quite a lot of Australians are, to be honest. She wrote The Female Eunuch, which was a very popular feminist
Yeah, I've heard of this.
Yeah. That was a book that, in the 70s, it was in every girl's flat, had a copy of The Female Eunuch in it and a copy of Tapestry, and usually some teddy bears.
Because women are really pretty much all the same. I mean, we might have different colours of hair, but generally we're the same people. That's really how it works.
Well, whether it works like that or not, the female eunuch...
We all think the same as well, did you know that?
Whatever you say, the female eunuch and the album
Popular.
Tapestry, they were just items that you had to...
Much like the Communist Manifesto in Soviet Russia.
Yeah, very much like that. As I recall, the book was encouraging women to throw off their fetters.
And she What's did a feta?
Feta is, well, it's a Greek cheese, but it's also...
I know that.
You knew that, didn't you? You've eaten it in a sort of middle-class style.
Not very often.
But
don't remember eating.
Fetters
are
don't
like it.
Throw off your chains. You do like feta.
No, I don't like feta.
Really?
I don't like feta at all.
I thought you would because it's salty. I know you like salty
Yeah,
stuff.
No, it is salty, but it's like, it's just like, I prefer cheddar. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just no good.
It's
like
too white?
Too fancy.
Too crumbly?
Too crumbly, yeah, that's true.
Fetters, though, fetters are chains, shackles.
Right.
That sort of thing. And she said, throw off your fetters. She said the bra was a ridiculous item. And I don't know whether you ever
When people burnt their bras.
Yeah, that was...
No, I know this. Like, that's a big thing of people burning their bras. So, should we listen to some music?
Let's do some music. This is the bit where you introduce me to something and I introduce you to something. Should we start with mine this week?
Yeah, go on.
All right, we'll start on that. Goldfrapp. Are you familiar with Goldfrapp?
No.
Good. Play.
Sounds like from like a Western film.
Well, it did. Now, it's very interesting you should say that, because that was from I'm not a huge fan of Goldfrapp particularly, but that was from a film called My Summer of Love, which I may have talked about before.
On the podcast?
Not on the podcast, just to you.
Outside of the podcast?
Well,
does it exist?
Sometimes. We have, if you recall, had one or two conversations not for the podcast.
We don't speak to each other outside this hour.
Very little. But yeah, I have spoken to you about this film before. It's called My Summer of Love, and it's about a lesbian love affair. It takes place, it's actually filmed in West Yorkshire. The other song that I picked out of the movie that I really liked was La Foule by Edith Piaf.
Oh, I like that. One of my friends likes to listen to like French music when she revises and stuff. So she liked Voila, you know, by Francois
Françoise Hardy.
And I said you should listen to Le Faux by Edith Piaf. She really likes that.
Well, I first heard it in that film, My Summer of Love, where the music was done by Goldfrapp. They're an electronic music duo. If you look at what category do you put them in? They've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You can either call them electronic, trip-hop, synth-pop, folktronica.
I was thinking that sounds awfully a lot like folktronica.
Or, are you being sarcastic? I thought you were. Or ambient. Ambient is a good description for Goldfrapp. But that track was called Lovely Head. They're a duo. They're from London. They're Alison Goldfrapp, who does vocals and synthesizer. And so they are.
When was this from?
They were formed in 1999. The film was 2004. Like I say, it was filmed in West Yorkshire. Based on the novel of the same name, it was directed by Pawlikowski. He's a Polish director, and he's got a film at Cannes this year, which is being highly praised. But he's very much into Westerns, and the music in the movie, which is based around that song Lovely Head by Goldfrapp, is heavily influenced, I read this somewhere, by Ennio Morricone, who did the soundtrack for Fistful of Dollars, A Few Dollars More, and The Good, Bad and the Ugly, which are Clint Eastwood's westerns. So you're quite right when you said it sounded like it's from a cowboy film. It's brilliant.
That was a long explanation to say that I was quite right when I said it sounded like a western.
Well, I knew it was a long explanation, but...
It's interesting.
You know, top marks.
It's interesting. Ish.
Ish.
My track is the opening track from Hamilton, which is called Alexander Hamilton, and so it's the first track that's from the musical, and obviously you've heard of it because it's
all
a global phenomenon. But I don't know whether you've actually listened to any of it.
No, so I've listened to none of it. Let's have a listen.
Yeah.
How does it bastard, orphan, son of a whore and a Scotsman, dropped in the middle of a forgotten spot in the Caribbean by providence, impoverished and squalor, grow up to be a hero and a scholar?
The $10 founding father without a father got a lot farther by working a lot harder, by being a lot smarter, by being a self-starter by 14.
Who is it performing there?
I think that'll be Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Tell me about Hamilton. I know it's like a huge show. It's not in the West End at the moment?
Yeah, which?
No, it's not started in the West End yet, has it?
No, it has.
What makes you want to go and see this musical so much?
Oh, it's so good.
I know it's been so big in America.
How much do I love the songs? I was singing it the other day in the car.
You were? And you know all the words?
Yeah.
Do you know all the words of that, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, yeah.
That we just heard. Oh, go on, give us a little... Go on, just give
us
a bit. You did it in the car the other day. See if it, continue, because we could only do 20 seconds.
Where were we up to?
We're up to 14. He was a self-starter at 14.
They placed him in charge of a trading charter, and every day while slaves were being slaughtered and carted away across the waves, he struggled and kept his pride of a brother as longing for something to be a part of. A brother was ready to beg, steal, borrow, or barter. Well, a hurricane came and devastation rained. My man saw his future dripping down the drain. Put a pencil to his temple, connected it to his brain, and wrote his first refrain, a testament to his name. Well, a word got around. They said, this kid is insane, man. I'll just do it up to that, because it's too long.
It's long, isn't it? And you know the whole rest of it as well.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
But it's so good. And it's also really interesting. I've heard a lot about... Obviously, we don't really cover the founding fathers of America in Britain. But I'd never heard of Alexander Hamilton. I'd never heard of Aaron Burr, who's another one of the... It's all true, the story. And apparently, it really helps a lot of, American students learn about the founding fathers, which they obviously have to do at school. So it's cool. Educational and fun.
Educational and fun. I was going to ask you about the word woke, which I keep on coming across. I'm not exactly sure what it means.
So, you asked me, you text me saying, Ruth, do you know what woke means? And so, I remembered seeing a meme that was like, this might help you understand what woke means.
Right.
So I'll read it out for you. It's a picture of Russell Brand, and then it says, when I was poor and I complained about inequality, they said I was bitter. Now I'm rich and complain about inequality, they say I'm a hypocrite. I'm starting to think they just don't want to talk about inequality. Russell Brand said this. And then someone comments on that and says, Russell Brand is actually woke AF.
Woke AF?
Yeah.
What does AF mean? It's rude.
Mm.
Yeah.
Right. It's just rude.
It's like WTF.
Yeah. Well done.
Yes.
He knows... He understands society and what's going on.
Yeah, but the problem with that is he's still Russell Brand.
I'm not saying that. But you understand what work means now.
Yes. Well, it just means...
We should... So, you should have done the test to see whether you work. Should I ask you some of the questions?
Go on then. How work am I?
Raven Simone is African-American, from every continent in Europe, from every continent in Africa, clueless.
Who's Raven Simone?
From That's So Raven.
Oh, I don't know. Never heard.
You don't know who Raven Simone is? From That's So Raven?
I don't know what That's So Raven is. What's That So
Well, So That's So Raven was like a Disney Channel show. And then I'm pretty sure she came out as a lesbian later. And so that's quite a big deal for a Disney Channel. You know, like, they're all really, like, pretty and chirpy and woo-hoo.
Right. So, yeah.
What do you think?
Because Minnie Mouse has never come out as a lesbian, has she?
She hasn't, not yet. No, she's with Mickey.
She's with Mickey, isn't she? Well, I'm not sure she is with Mickey.
So. They get married and stuff.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. So I don't know. I can't answer that question, so go on.
I think she's African-American. When is Black History Month? February in America, October in the UK, every damn day. Black History Month, we need a whole damn year. I don't know, but more importantly, why isn't there a White History Month?
Well, that White History Month is nonsense. I used to get this when I was on the radio, when it was Music of Black Origin and they did the awards in Leeds. Mm-hmm. I knew I could virtually time it. The first text coming in said, "Whoa, why have we got Music of Black Origin? Why isn't there Music of White Origin?" And I always used to direct them to the Country and Western Music Awards. But, well, if you want Music of White Origin, there is classical. Lots and lots of classical music.
That's loads and loads of it.
There is some pop music. Because pop music is so many different influences. You know, like the Beatles, for instance. I'm sorry, how long have we gone before I've mentioned the Beatles?
Beatles are massively inspired by soul music.
Yes, oh, they were. But what I'm saying is...
So, you can't really count...
No, if you listen to the Beatles' first albums, they've got stuff that were covers of Motown songs, you know, Please Mr. Postman and You Really Got a Hold on Me. In those songs, it's music of black origin. I mean, the genius of the Beatles is that they took rhythm and blues music, which is music of black origin, which, because of... Are you falling asleep now? Because of... In America, because the radio stations were virtually segregated, you know, white stations wouldn't play black music in America. Because of that, the Beatles were able to introduce, and the Stones as well, were able to introduce America to the music that they'd not listened to. You know,
yeah, because they'd only been listening to... People thought, white music.
Yeah, precisely. People thought some of those early Stones songs, like You Better Move On, they only heard it for the first time when the Stones sold it back to America.
So the next question is, complete this sentence, hashtag blank lives matter. And your options are black or all.
I would say all. Does that mean me not woke?
That makes you very not woke.
Okay.
I'll put it, but it makes you super not woke.
Right.
Because it's ignoring like a systemic oppression of black people.
Okay, go on, give me the next question.
Okay, what are the Oscars? An annual American award ceremony hosted by the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences to recognise excellence in cinematic achievements in the film industry. A great opportunity to see my fave celebs dressed in cute outfits. Boring AF, so white.
I would say the second one.
A great opportunity to see my fave celebs dressed in cute.
Well, I would say they're largely a publicity campaign for Hollywood movies. It's a good way of flogging movies that you couldn't flog, you know, like Forrest Gump, that there was no other way to flog it.
How offended are you by white people in cornrows? Do you know what cornrows are?
In cornrows?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a hair.
They're very, very tight braids.
Tight braids.
Are what a lot of black people wear.
Yeah.
So, not offended at all, it's just hair. Why should I be offended? Black people wear straight weeds all the time and no one says anything to them. Don't even get me started, how dare they? I don't care as long as they don't pretend they invented it.
It's just hair, I'm going with number one there. I'm not going to be very woke here, am I?
We'll see how woke you are. You decide to go as Kanye West for a Halloween party, but you're not black. Do you paint your face? No way, that's blackface. Absolutely. I want to make it look authentic, after all. I'd be too scared to offend anyone. I'll ask my black friends if it's okay.
I'd go with number one there.
Oh! You are so woke, you can spot us fake from a mile away.
I'm woke!
You're woke! Congrats!
Wow! So I turn out to be woke. That's wonderful. I don't quite know what it means, but can I do anything with that? Will it?
Not really.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites.
So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Do you know who's just been to Sri Lanka? Liv Bentley, Sam Thompson, Harry Barron, Melissa and Habs from Made in Chelsea.
Oh, I just got about to ask you, who are those people?
So now, the thing is, Dad, Made in Chelsea is a big part of my life. I've been watching it for a long time. I watch it, like, every time the new season comes out, I watch it every Monday. I'm a big fan of Toff. I keep up to date with everything that's going on. I follow everyone on Instagram.
Are you proud of this?
I'm not proud.
So what season are we up to?
Oh my gosh, I don't even know.
Has it been going for a long time?
Yeah, like season 14 or something.
Really?
Well, they do two seasons every
year. So did you start watching
it
when you were much younger?
No, because I did binge watch some of it, so not that much. But I've watched at least like 3 or 4 seasons where I've been watching it as it came out.
Because it is quite adult in terms of what we talk about.
So you were sat in the room while I was watching the most recent episode, and that was particularly rude. Like, a lot of the time it's very PG. It's all talk. You never, like, nothing ever happens. No. It's just them talking about things that previously happened. I thought I'd let you know all the relationships, everything that's going on. So I thought you've pretty much got to grips with your Kardashians, and there's not very much Kardashian news
right.
This week.
So can we give the Kardashians a rest this week?
Exactly.
So I don't need to talk about Kanye and mispronounce it.
Exactly. You've kind of got to grips with the Kardashians. And so I thought maybe you should get to grips with a new microcosm of people.
Right.
Made in Chelsea people. I'm not going to go all the way back to the beginning. I don't want to offend anyone who's a long-time Made in Chelsea watcher who's listening. But I'm not going all the way back to the beginning, even though it was great when it was all about Jamie Lang and Mitten and all those people.
Oh, all those people, yeah.
But, and Francis Boulay actually had storylines. Anyway, I'm just going to do what's happening right now in these series, and then I can give you updates every week.
Okay.
The main, like, story at the moment is between Liv Bentley and Digby. So Liv Bentley is off Bentley Cars, just to give
wow.
you...
Wow.
Yeah.
So she's going to be well posh.
She's the poshest. Like, Liv Bentley talks like this all the time. Like,
oh, well, maybe next week when you do your impersonation, you can do Liv Bentley.
Yeah. So Liv Bentley and Digby have been in a relationship for a year and a half or something. I'm going to do this quite quick, so you need to pay attention. It's been on the rocks. Digby is just not right for Liv. He's not smart enough. He's not quick enough. He's not witty enough. So Liv went on holiday with Sam and Harry, who were her two best friends, to Sri Lanka to get her away from all of these things. She also went with Miles. Come back to Miles. So Liv has previously dated and slept with both Mitten and Sam, who were her two best friends. Sam was with Tiff, and they had a massive, like, really long relationship. It was big breakup, really terrible. But now Sam, on the Sri Lanka trip, has started his new relationship with Habs. Habs has also previously dated and slept with Mitten.
Are all these people posh?
So posh.
Yeah.
So Habs has been with Mitten and Sam as well. They went on this trip, and Liv, before she was with Digby, was with Fred. But while she was on the trip in Sri Lanka, she had a picture with a boy called Miles, who was a new introduction into the show. And Digby saw it and thought that there was something between Miles and Liv when there's not. Miles actually likes Sophie Herman, but Sophie Herman doesn't really like Miles. So Miles is also very good friends with James. James went on 2 dates with Toff, Georgia Toffoli. You know her.
Yes, I've seen her on. She was on the Jungle, yeah. Wasn't she? She won it.
And she went on 2 dates with Toff, but Toff doesn't really like James. Now, Harry Barron went on the trip. Harry Barron is another one of... to Sri Lanka. Harry Barron is another one of Liv's good friends. Harry Barron is a bit of a love rat. It's kind of well known in Chelsea. That's, like, Harry Barron's personality. He, at the moment, is in a very committed, lovely relationship with Melissa. Melissa went on a sort of date with Jamie Lang to play a game with him, because Jamie Lang was trying to go out with Melissa, because when Jamie was with Frankie, Harry tried to get in there with Frankie to annoy Jamie. And now Frankie and Jamie have completely broken up. That was a long time ago. And Jamie's seen a new girl called Elle, who is French.
I'm sorry, I found myself...
These aren't even all the relationships. These are only some of them.
Wow. So what happens in the show? They just talk about who's dating who the whole time. It's an hour-long
show. Yeah,
pretty
much. And sometimes it's about friendships as well. Like, Liv and Frankie had a massive falling out. Frankie was dating Jamie Lang. But mainly, they go to parties and they have arguments, and then they talk about their arguments the next day at, like, coffee shops, and then they go to another party and then they have more arguments.
And
they kiss and stuff.
And they kiss and stuff, and that's... And it's what they call constructed reality, so...
Yeah, I think
it's
what they do...
It's not all true.
I think they'll say... So they'll say to Liv, go and have a talk with Digby about your relationship. Then they'll leave them to have their conversation. Or they'll be like,
so
perhaps
what,
I want you to throw a drink at Sam at the end of this because you're annoyed with him for real.
So, but they're manipulated to make it an entertaining programme, manipulated by the directors and things. What do they get out of it? I mean, they're already very rich. These people want to be, presumably they want to be stars in some way. They'd like
to
go on other
reality shows. Yeah, and I think it's that way
shows.
Of being like a socialite. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so it's a sort of
also,
televised equivalent. Of
they're
what,
not, they are rich. So like Jamie Lang is... his parents own Quality Street.
Wow.
And like McVitie's or something.
Right.
Quality Street, I think. Yeah, Jamie Lang is Quality Street, and then he has his own business called Candy Kittens.
Mm.
I don't know whether you've seen them. They sell them in a lot of shops.
No, I've not seen them. So what they're getting, what they want out of it is a sort of form of stardom. They would like to be on television more, on other programmes and things.
Yeah, I think so.
But what I'm saying is they've already got all that.
I don't know, the exposure, and also the money. Like, they'll be getting paid a lot to do it.
Mm. But they've already got lots of money.
Yeah, but why do actors do adverts when they've already got tons of money?
Well, they do that through insecurity, I think, a lot of actors, in that they're, you know, you're only as good as your next job. I mean, one assumes if an actor's paid a couple of million pounds for a film...
If you earned a couple of million pounds, though, for a film, you could not work again, pretty much.
Well, to an extent, but you know...
It's to maintain the lifestyle
well,
that
precisely.
They have. Well, that's got, the same with Made in Chelsea people.
But you would think as long as people are... As long as Christmas still exists, the guy from Quality Street isn't going to go skint, is he? You know, unlike an actor who's... you're only as good as
yeah,
your last film.
Yeah,
they might suddenly run out, and he's got this lavish lifestyle... And nothing to support it with, so they would do adverts, I think.
Well, anyway, I'll let you know what's going on.
Yeah, do, keep me
in touch
with it.
But Liv and Digby are still together at the moment, but they definitely should break up.
Well, I can't wait to find out what happens there. We were watching Family Guy, and this particular episode, the internet had completely gone down everywhere. There was no internet.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wondered how you'd manage. You mentioned sort of Googling stuff for French.
I wouldn't. With school, I'd really struggle because I Google everything. I don't know how you did cope at all.
Encyclopedias, dictionaries.
That must have taken so much longer.
Or asking people. You know, if there was something you would...
Did you have, like, was the stuff that you had to learn, like, easier, though? Because I honestly don't know how I would do it if I didn't have Google.
Well, no, we probably didn't get... As far as French, for instance, goes, we probably didn't get quite as far. We had to... Certainly as far as conversation...
It was more grammar-y, wasn't it, your French?
Yes, it was. I mean, you had to basically listen to what you were told, read your textbooks, and look it up in a book. If you wanted to know... You know, Google Translate did not exist. You know.
Why? Google Translate?
Oh, if I pronounced that wrong, Lee.
Well, it's just Google Translate. It's not...
No, translate is American. Translate is English.
No, but it wasn't even the pronunciation of translate.
Am I doing a Burger King on it?
Yeah, it was like Burger King or like sat nav.
Google Translate.
It's not like separating the words.
Google Translate. What?
No, Google Translate. But
Google Translate. You see,
Google Translate.
That's the way we talk in England.
Google Translate.
Google Translate is American.
Google Translate?
Yeah, I want to translate that word.
Okay, what how
American.
Are you saying it?
Google Translate.
That's the same as what I just said it?
No, you said Google Translate.
Google Translate.
Yeah, Google Translate is right, but you didn't say it like that. You said Google Translate. In America, they put the stress on the first syllable. We put the stress on the second syllable.
Whatever, whatever.
No, it's not whatever. It's you can whatever, say whatever. Stress. You can say whatever, but it's true.
Whatever.
You see, you don't believe something's true unless you've Googled it. So, everybody's going mad on the internet, I notice, about gammon.
Mad for gammon.
Mad for gammon. Am I gammon?
No, you're not gammon. You are a bit gammon.
A little bit gammon. So, explain what gammon is. I mean, I know it's
the BBC News published an article called Why Social Media is Covered in Gammon.
Right.
And they said, this was their definition, because I wanted to find you a good, solid definition.
Yeah.
They said, used to describe the rosy complexion of outraged middle-aged people in the UK. Which I think is hilarious. Whoever's come up with that is a genius. I think it's hilarious. And it honestly does really hit the nail on the head. And so there's been this gammon snowflake clash over Brexit.
So it's the snowflakes getting their own back on
the gammons. The gammons, yeah. It maps the divisions, which is similar to what we're doing right now.
Yes,
gammon and snowflake.
But I don't think I am gammon because I'm not outraged about stuff particularly.
So, well, wait. Because when I first was researching gammon, I was like, that's not a gammon. But when I get to the end, I think you might think you're a gammon. The question is, really, that people were asking was, is it a racial slur?
I'm more pastrami than gammon.
Do you find it offensive?
I find it childish rather than offensive, to be
honest.
Why
is it any more offensive than snowflake, though?
Well, that's probably a bit childish as well, but it's fun. I think it's...
Yeah, you only think it's fun because it's not directed at people like you.
Well, I don't think gammon's particularly directed at people like me. I'm not particularly ruddy-faced, am I?
No, you're not.
Not particularly ruddy-faced.
A little bit now, you're a bit burnt.
There's another one called Centrist Dad. Have you seen that one?
No.
That's me. You have a look at it on your phone.
Meet centrist dad, whose antics are an apparent source of frustration and embarrassment to young Labour Party activists. Centrist dads are middle-aged men who cannot come to terms with the world and politics changing. Sounds like you.
Yeah.
They think they must know better because they are older and wiser. He says their politics are vague because they just come across as contrarians. Stephen Bush, special correspondent at the New Statesman, says use of the term centrist dad is a reaction to the condensation when I meant condescension faced by Corbyn supporters over the past 2 years. It's a reaction to that worldly wise, well son, when you get to my age you'll think differently. I think a centrist dad is more just when you're young you're more radical. There's someone else says a centrist dad is white, middle class, wears a leather jacket and probably watches Top Gear on Amazon Prime.
Well,
which you don't do.
I don't wear a leather jacket.
I did wear. You wish you did.
I wish I was young enough to wear a leather jacket.
I think you're more of a centrist dad than you are a gammon. But the stuff about political correctness.
Some political correctness is absolutely right because we're just talking about being polite, and having regard to other people's feelings. And in that case, I'm politically correct.
I guess it's just striking a balance.
I guess it is just striking a balance, but gammon.
Should we leave it on balance?
I think we can do that. So it's high time. I think we sacked it off for this week.
Yeah.
Are you ready to sack it off?
Yeah, very ready. I've burnt my back in the hot summer sun.
Yeah,
so I don't want to lean against this chair anymore.
No, those 2 days of summer, they've completely done you in, haven't they?
Yeah, I wore a top that was like a low back, and then I wore a bra with cross straps at the back, and I look like a gammon that's been wrapped in those, what's it called, that string, and then you take it off and then you Christmas ham.
Absolutely. Ruthie?
Absolutely.
We'll do it all again next week, hopefully.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.